Bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa Namo tassa Bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Pānātipātā vairamanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Ādīna dānā vairamanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Kāmesu micchācarā vairamanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Mūsāvādā vairamanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Sūrāmeraya majjhāpamādathāna vairamanī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Sādhu Sādhu, Sādhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, claim Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Okay.
No, finish class.
Sadhu. Okay, off the line. Where's my wife? Now my children, let my wife do it. She know which switch. You see which switch you learn. Okay, leave this one on first. Off that one and oh, now I leave one on here. Yeah, the further on, the further in. Till it's a question of her. Okay, then off the rest. Off the rest. No, it's okay. After I will off that one. Yeah. So we had changed the format a bit for those who are new. We will start with about 40 minutes of meditation so that you can at least calm down your mind, develop some training of the mind, and some of you can meditate because the energy here is different. The environment, the energy, they are very conducive for meditation. So you can make use of it, it will help you in many ways. So you just relax body and mind, silence your mind. For those who already know how to meditate, you can go ahead. So for those who are new, I think Sister Jane and the friend, you familiar with the meditation or not? Oh, okay, good. Afterwards, remind me to pass you that 12th of September transcript notes on meditation. I think you have a copy already, isn't it? You didn't have. Oh, you didn't go to the Thursday class. Last Thursday, Sri Ande, not you, means there is another Jain. There is another Jain that asked for the address and meditation. Never mind, after remind me, I'll pass you a copy so that you will know how to train your mind and develop this meditation. Meditation need to be done with understanding. Without understanding, if you do, then you can actually waste a lot of time. You cannot develop something that you don't understand. You maybe will only benefit from following people's instruction, yeah, to maybe train this mind to be more peaceful and more calm. Then after that, they will give you some method and technique. Then you thought by doing that, that is meditation. So if you do that without understanding, you can be trapped there for very long. Yeah? So understanding what you do in the name of meditation is very important. And to develop the understanding, you must understand to a certain extent what is meditation as taught by the Buddha. And what are the key things you need to know to develop this meditation. Yeah. So these are all explained in the transcript notes in our Thursday class. So while we are here, we try to save some time. So what I will do is, those who already know how to meditate, you go ahead, you silence your mind, and you develop the meditation, training of the mind. Those who are new, who still maybe need instruction, then I will give you some form of instructions so that you can develop it. According to the Buddha, the reason why living beings' mind is not peaceful is because the mental hindrance are there, the five mental hindrance. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. And because of the hindrance, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness, which is the meditative mind. So in order to overcome this, the Buddha said you don't have to fight the hindrance. You only need to relax and silence your mind and develop the spiritual faculty, the opposite five spiritual faculty of faith. Virya means virya is spiritual zeal or tenacity to walk this path after knowing who the Buddha is, how wonderful his teaching is, and through developing the very strong faith, then you determine to walk this way. Now that is the second spiritual faculty of virya. The first one is faith, sadha. Then after that, it will drive you to cultivate the third spiritual faculty of mindfulness or sati. Sati is the silent mind before the knowing. The moment you are silent, without any mental thinking or chattering, you are already peaceful, you are already silent, you are already in the state of sati. So to develop sati, you don't have to do anything, you just have to silence your mind. But because sometimes the hindrance are very powerful, you cannot silence. So you need a skillful means to develop the deconditioning of the heedless thinking conditioned by your mental hindrance. So I will give you some brief instruction on how to do it. So you make sure you have a stable posture, relaxed body and mind. Make sure your backbone is straight. Close your eye. Then feel your forehead. If there is any tightness, any stress within, or any tension, you just silently relax, relax, relax every part of your muscle within the forehead. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your attention to your facial muscle and your eye muscle. Feel, don't think, just feel. If there's any tension, tightness or stress within, relax them all. So you can use this mind sweeping method to sweep down from your eye muscle to your facial muscle. Make sure each and every strand of your facial muscle is in a state of complete relaxed silence. If you can't do it, then you can use another skillful means to develop it, which is loving kindness or metta. You can visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile within a mirror. So when you can smile, when you can radiate this smile, you have joy. The moment you have joy, you will be relaxed. naturally relax. Otherwise, you cannot smile, you cannot have joy. So when you do that, you will feel a lot of happiness, a lot of joy within. Then naturally, the facial muscle will relax. Then after that, you can start to radiate what they call loving kindness to yourself. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being. Then you continue to relax and radiate. May I, this body and mind of mine, be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. So feel your body, physical, and your mind, mentally, free of all suffering. May this body and mind to be free of all harm and danger. May its mind state to be without enmity, without ill will and untrauma. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. Then you can continue to radiate this love and metta to all your loved ones, all of beings within this vicinity, and all Dharma friends. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all Dharma friends and loved ones, may they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can extend this metta, all loving kindness, to all beings throughout the entire PA or SS2 area. May all beings within the entire vicinity of SS2, Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, planet Earth, Southeast Asia, our solar system, our galaxy, and all beings within the entire universe. May they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all to be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, you just feel, relax every part of the facial muscle. Then you move it down, sweep it down to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax, don't think. Hand, feel, relax every part. Back to shoulder, relax every part. Then move to your heart or your chest area. This is the most important part within your body. This is where the heartbeat arises and passes away. This is the seat of consciousness. This is where the life force arises and passes away. This is where you can actually silence your mind and develop the understanding of what is going on within your heart and your nature. So you just silence everything and feel. Don't think, just feel. You can detect any vibration or heartbeat. You just stay there for as long as you can. If you are new, still not stable in your mindfulness, then maybe you cannot detect the heartbeat or the vibration, then you just silence your mind, like you feel your forehead, you feel your heart or chest area and relax every part, relax, relax and relax, feel it soothingly relaxed. Then you move it down to your stomach, do the same, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax every part. Your buttock, do the same. Then you can reverse this mind sweeping method from buttock, leg, relax. You feel and you relax. Then you move to your abdomen, feel, silence your mind and relax. Body, do the same. At the stomach, just feel, relax. Heart, feel, relax. Shoulder, hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, neck, facial muscle, do the same, feel, relax. Eye muscle, forehead. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. If you have done it correctly, there will be inner peace, leading to inner well-being. Then there is clarity of mind. There is just a silence. By now, you should be able to train this mind so that it will stabilize, so that this inner peace, inner well-being, and inner awareness will stabilize. To do it, you need the object of meditation to anchor this mind so that it will not be heedless, it will not wander off. So, Lord Buddha actually recommended the breathing. He called it anapana sati. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapana sati is just training of the mind to anchor it to the breathing so that it is one with the breathing. So what you do is you just silence your mind and feel the breath around your nostril area, just like how you feel your forehead. You just silence everything. Don't try to know, don't try to think, just feel. Then when you can detect the breathing, like the Buddha said, breathing in, there is the awareness of it. Breathing out, there is the awareness of it. So when you can develop this training until the mind and the breathing become one, in harmony, in synchrony, without thought. And this is anapanasati. So every time if the mind wanders off, you just patiently and silently bring the attention back to the nostril area and feel the breathing. The moment you detect the breath, you allow the mind and the breath to move as one. Just like the Buddha said, breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, you are aware. Then breathing in a long breath, you are aware. Breathing out a long breath, you are aware. Then you are stabilized. Then breathing in, experiencing the inner peace, the inner joy, the inner well-being. There is awareness of the entire breath. Then breathing in, experiencing the peace and the calm. Then breathing in, tranquilizing the mental formation. So all this, as you train, you will develop them. Then if your cultivation has stabilized, when your anapanasati has become developed, you will experience what they call piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, born of a tranquil mind, born of a peaceful mind, born of a mind that is in sati, or concentration or samadhi. So when there is piti, spiritual joy will arise, spiritual rapture will arise, and you will, if you experience it for the first time, like to develop this meditation further, more and more, more and more. Then you continue to relax and silent, piti will transform into what they call sukha. Sukha is a type of more refined piti. It is called spiritual bliss. You will experience a very blissful mental state that will make you very, very peaceful and very calm. and the mind state will be very different. So when sukha arises, do not attach, just allow it to be, continue to relax and let it continue to stabilize. After a while, if you are patient enough, you will experience very long breathing. Then this long breath will stabilize until later on, the breath becomes very subtle, very still and very quiet. Then like no more breathing. When you reach that state, you actually develop pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, which is a meditative mind. So initially you just train your mind to develop this pasati. Then you silent everything and stay at the heart. Then for those who already know how to meditate, you just silent your mind, develop the ability to be aware, then just feel with the silent mind. Whatever that arises within the six sense door, you have to silence to realize what is going on within your sense bases, within your so-called physical and mental process, the form and mind, the five aggregates of form and mind. See them clearly. That upon contact of mind with the sense bases, with the silent mind, try to understand through a direct seeing, means not through the thought, just through the silent mind in awareness. Allow whatever to arise, to flower, to stir or to develop. Then through the understanding, while in the state of silence, you will see things clearly. You will see things as they are. Then you will understand the teaching and the Dhamma. Then all of the Buddha Dhamma that the Buddha taught, the 12 link or dependent origination, you will see them. How upon contact, feeling arise. Apart from feeling, there is also a lot of other things. So you learn to see them. Actually upon contact, consciousness come to be first before the content went in. You learn to see all this clearly. Then how the dependent origination link condition each other. How avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. All you will see them. Then you will also be able to be aware of the five mental hindrance, the five spiritual faculty, the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, the seven factors of enlightenment and the four noble truth. All these essential Dhamma will manifest within your own form and mind. Then you just silent to develop this insight or vipassana. Vipassana is insight meditation. Vipassana bhavana. V is the three characteristics. Passana is the insight into it. So when you develop vipassana, is to develop the insight wisdom into the characteristics of all phenomena, all of their universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering, state and non-self. Okay, I will let you continue your meditation. Then I will ring the bell in about another 10 to 15 minutes time. Okay. others who still want to meditate, you can silently continue your meditation. For those who have been out, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. The mind state that you have trained is very useful. The trained mind is the meditative mind. And the trained mind is peaceful, relaxed, and aware within. The untrained mind thinks a lot, very heedless. So the purpose of all this training is to develop the deconditioning of the heedless mind if you still have the hindrance. And you do it via the mind sweeping method so that you can relax body and mind by just aware. Feel, relax, you don't think anymore. Then this mind sweeping method is very useful because it can train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it will stay at the forehead. You want it to be at the heart, it will stay at the heart. You want it to be at the abdomen, it will stay there. You want it to be peaceful, silent and aware, it will just do that. Whereas the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot, and you got no control. You can't do anything about it. It's very active, constantly thinking, planning, worrying, restless and in a continuous state of activity. That's why the untrained mind is heedless, not peaceful. The mind that is trained is very important, very useful. The trained mind is silent and peaceful, aware, constantly aware, heedful most of the time. The mind that is trained listen to you, serve you. You can make use of it. It's just like you use money. You can direct your mind for wholesomeness, with clarity, with awareness. Then you can see how this mind can actually help you develop the meditation, develop the training of the mind to become very, very beautiful, so that there is clarity, so that there is samadhi, so that there is inner peace, inner awareness, and inner well-being. So all this can arise if you train your mind and develop the proper understanding of what you are doing. Then carry this trained mind state, or what they call state of sati or heedfulness, into the daily life. You use this trained mind to live life instead of your ordinary thinking mind, mundane mind, the heedless mind. So when you can do that, you move into the next phase of meditation, which is meditation in life itself. The Buddha called it the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. Mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, movement and activity within the present moment. All of phenomena, physical, mental and nature's phenomena. You will be able to develop the mindfulness to be aware of all phenomena. So the daily mindfulness is very important. When you are heedful, aware, and your mind is trained, you will be very alert. You can see a lot of things that you never see before. You seldom think. You can see things as they are. You can see the moment of arising of consciousness, the moment of arising of mental intention, before the action, speech and thought, you will see them very clearly. Then you will be able to have this right effort to prevent the arising of all this unwholesome state of mind or unskillful action and speech. Before mindfulness develops, you cannot do any of this. But as you train your mind, as you become more and more mindful, initially you will see the mind state that has arisen, where there is wholesome or unwholesome. Like the unwholesome mind state, with the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Greed is selfishness, trying to take advantage of people, the mental intention. You will see them clearly, your craving, your desire. Then anger or hatred, the evil root is your emotion, your anger, your envy, your jealousy, your dislike, your unpleasant feeling. All this you will see them. They are born of your wrong view. How your mind stir and become like that. So the mental intention to see your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your insecurity, sorrow and lamentation, all this you will start to see. Then you can arise the right effort to abandon them. Those negative tendency or wrong thought, wrong speech and wrong action, you can abandon them. As you develop the training of the mind more and more skillful, you don't have to abandon them anymore. You can even prevent them from arising. Before it arises, you will be aware at the level of intention. Then you straighten your view. The moment you straighten your view, you will lose that power to arise. Then you can prevent it from arising. Then after that, you can develop the right effort to cultivate the wholesome mind, the wholesome thought, wholesome action and speech that are still not in you. All of the Noble Eightfold Path from right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action. The right effort to develop them. The right thought are all the beautiful thought, free of the evil roots, like loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, equanimity, love, compassion. Then all of the thoughts that are very, very wholesome and virtuous, like honest thought, sincere thought, gratitude, respect, and even gratefulness. Be grateful of what people has done for you. Then have contentment. Then be responsible. Do your duty well. Then arise all the kind thought, the good and noble thought that are very, very noble, means the thought of friendliness, gentleness, kindness, pleasantness, goodness, that can bring about a lot of harmony, a lot of understanding. Then your speech, you can develop good, gentle, pleasant and beautiful speeches that bring about good relationship, harmony, friendliness, happiness, joy. Then even your action, if you can arise the right action to abstain from killing, stealing, deceiving people, cheating, committing sexual misconduct and partaking in toxicant or telling lie, all these are very wholesome. Then you can arise the right action of generosity to help people, to bring about good condition, so that you can be a blessing to all. So all these are meditation, cultivation. Okay, with that, maybe I will move into the Q&A and meditation reporting. So now I open up for all to report your meditation. If you got any meditation that you like to report, you can. You can also ask any question related to your meditation or the teaching or how to apply what you have learned and what you have developed over the training to help you understand what is going on in life and to help you overcome all of your life problem and situation or suffering. Okay, now anybody wants to report meditation? The mic is there, near to Joyce. Anybody? What about Jane? You want to just explain or report? Just push up the mic. It's a cordless mic. Push it up, then you can report. Report exactly how you do your meditation. Then how you develop the training of the mind or whatever method or technique that you are familiar.
Can I ask regarding the Kanika Samadhi? So another thing is just the day I heard from the Brother Billy, Brother Day, he
oh, okay. He you are from Klang. You are from Klang.
Actually, I'm from Shah Alam, but I used to go to Klang.
Okay.
So after the talk on Samatha Vipassana,
yes.
Then you stress on Kanika Samadhi and...
I didn't stress on Kanika Samadhi.
And
I stress on Upachara Samadhi.
Upachara Samadhi, Upachara Samadhi, but you didn't stress on Apana Samadhi. Because
not to say I didn't stress.
But not much on that.
No. If you read through the transcript, you got a copy of the transcript or the talk? Oh, no wonder you cannot understand. I will give you a copy of this. You see, we are trying to explain what is samatha and what is vipassana. You know these two terms, isn't it? What is vipassana?
Vipassana is seeing the three characteristics.
You see, vipassana, bhavana, you see, there are two words. Vipassana and bhavana. Bhavana is meditation, okay? So like any meditation, bhavana is mental training, okay? Metta bhavana is loving kindness meditation. Means it's a type of meditation that train your mind to have metta, to radiate metta. So vipassana bhavana is a mental training that develop you off it, otherwise there is distortion of it. Press it down. You see, vipassana bhavana means any mental training to develop vipassana. Like I explained just now, we is the three characteristics of nature. Passana is to insight into these three characteristics. So any training of the mind that lead to this type of insight is called vipassana, anasana. It is not restricted by any method or technique, understand? So vipassana is to develop wisdom, to insight into the characteristics of nature. Then what is samatha? Bhavana. Okay. Tranquility or stillness is good. But bhavana is mental training. Whatever mental training that leads you to develop the samadhi, understand? Is called samatha vipassana. Samatha bhavana. So samatha is to develop samadhi. Samadhi, you got three types, anasana. One is kanika, moment to moment. The other one is upachara samadhi, continuous mindfulness, before you enter apana samadhi. Apana samadhi is concentration, absorption, one-pointedness with the jhanic practice, everything. So if you do samatha, people mainly refer it to apana samadhi, anasana. Whereas if you do vipassana, you don't need apana samadhi, anasana. The Buddha, before he became the Sammasambuddha, he was taught by two teachers, Alara and Udaka. Okay? They taught him to develop the highest, the last two jhana, 7 and 8 jhana, anasana. So he reached all of the what they call possible form and formless jhana until the highest level available at that time. That is apana samadhi. The jhanas are all apana samadhi. But he was not enlightened. That's why he later decide this is not what he want, because it doesn't solve his problem. It can bring about condition for birth in the higher realm, the higher heavens, the formless realm, and he lived very long, he know. But he knew inside, through his past cultivation, this is not the answer to what he seek. What he seek was, after he left the palace, he saw the four signs, you remember? An old man, a very sick man, and a dead man. Then a samana, a bhikkhu, or a holy man. Yeah? When he was explained what old age sickness and death is, he realized he has a problem, because like the attendant told him, sooner or later, each and every one of us, we will become so old like this old person, so fragile, so weak, and so useless. Then, when condition is not right, we can become so sick and so miserable like this sick person about to die. Then finally, this human body and mind can die. So he knew he has a problem. So with all the jhana, he still cannot free from this, what they call search for answer to old age, sickness and death. He still got no solution. Because after you take birth up there, he knew after a long period of time, you still fall back and become, you become the lower realm beings again. Then finally you can come down to Deva realm, human realm, and back to hell. So this is not liberation. This is not the solution. So he went on and cultivated on his own. That's why finally, on the full moon of Vesak, underneath the Bodhi tree, when he became fully enlightened, he realized he don't need Apana Samadhi to develop wisdom. He only need Upachara Samadhi. So that's why it's not that I stress on Upachara Samadhi or what. I try to explain the two types of meditation. If you want to develop Apana, you can. But you must know what you are doing. Otherwise, you can get trapped inside there and thinking that you are already enlightened. That's what the teacher of the Buddha, they all taught. So, if you really want to develop Vipassana, then if you are in Apana Samadhi, you will be trapped inside there. Just like what the Buddha and all those people before he became enlightened realized. Even after you have gone into Apana Samadhi, it doesn't mean you cannot be enlightened. You can. Like the Buddha, he has got all the jhana. But when he realized that this is not the way to liberation, he strive on with heedfulness to develop his own understanding. Then when he silenced his mind and released the concentration out, then he recalled when he was very young. I think during the harvesting festival. That time his mind was so beautiful, so bright, so clear. Not in Apana. I think he just entered the first jhana. First jhana, you still have the five jhanic factor. Applied thought and sustained thought, means vitakka and vichara. That one still got thought, understand? Not in Apana concentration yet. So when he was in that state, he realized there was clarity. There was a lot of what they call peace, inner calmness and joy. The mind was clear. Yeah. So he stayed in that state and he developed what they call investigation into the Dhamma. Then he developed the understanding of the dependent origination. Then he connect back to his nature from the past. He came to understand the Four Noble Truths through his own cultivation and understanding. That's why later on he said he got no teacher. Then he realized the right samadhi is not Apana Samadhi. That's why in the Noble Eightfold Path he say Sama Samadhi. He never say Apana Samadhi. And he never say it's jhana either. He say it's samadhi. So samadhi, according to the definition, is a unified collected mind that is unwavering. So the unwavering state has two possibilities. One is apana, no movement at all, still concentrated, one-pointedness. The other one is upacara samadhi. Upacara also unified, collected, unwavering, where it's continuous, very stable. But kanika samadhi is moment to moment, unified, collected, but can waver, understand? You can still be affected by sense experience. So of these three, you need to cultivate from kanika samadhi until you move into upacara samadhi, which is very near the first and second jhana. It's almost the jhanic state. But this one is not through focus, not through concentration. You don't need the, what they call, applied thought and sustained thought. You don't do thought-based meditation. You don't go and focus. You're just silent and relaxed and just aware. Samadhi developed through the spiritual faculty, not through jhanic factors. Of all the five jhanic factors, you realize only piti is an enlightenment factor. The rest, vitaka, vichara, sukha, and ekagata, they are all not enlightenment factors. So you go into jhana, you go into apana samadhi, then you get trapped. It depends on the individual, what you want to do, and what is your view of meditation. If you think that leads to enlightenment, you are free to go ahead and do. But like the Buddha, he came to realize that was not ultimate. And even many of those cultivators at that time in India, they were all trapped in samatha. Because there was no vipassana before the coming of the Buddha. So vipassana was later introduced. When the Buddha realizes full enlightenment. Use the mic. Otherwise, they cannot hear you.
Brother Teo?
Yes.
Sometimes I read the Nikayas. The Buddha have high praises for the jhanas. So when he says
of course.
Is it on the upacara samadhi or is it?
No. You see, commentary being commentary, understand? Then Nikaya or whatever, when they explain, different people explain it differently, understand? Because what is passed down are the Pali words, understand? So if people translate through commentary or through their own understanding, then you read the translation, of course you get all sorts of translation, understand? Then you say, this Nikaya put a lot of emphasis on all this jhana and all those things. And you even heard of people saying that without jhana, you cannot become enlightened. Understand? And jhana is a must. But then you ask yourself a very simple question. The teacher of the Buddha to be that time, they were expert in jhanas. The Buddha also developed everything. Why is he not enlightened? Then why do you say jhana is a must? Understand? It's very straightforward. Otherwise, the Buddha will become very clear. Noble Eightfold Path, he no need to put sama, samadhi, sama jhana, no question asked. Understand? So it becomes very clear. But why the word samadhi is there? And samadhi, if you recall, maybe I explain this, you will understand. The two essential dhamma that the Buddha taught is one. Sila, samadhi, and panya. Correct? You heard of this? What is this? This is breakdown of what? Noble Eightfold Path. That's what I wrote here. Noble Eightfold Path. You can break it down into sila, samadhi, and panya. And what is Noble Eightfold Path? Fourth Noble Truth. So Fourth Noble Truth talk about what? The Buddha said there is a Noble Truth that explains clearly about this Noble Eightfold Path. Is it? There is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path, that will lead to what? End of all suffering. Not all suffering. You meditate to become enlightened, to be free of suffering. Correct? So this is the meditation, Karana, as taught by the Buddha. So sila, samadhi, and panya. What is sila? Morality. So under Noble Eightfold Path, you got right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. They are all under morality. Okay? Then you have samadhi and panya. What is samadhi? You got right mindfulness, okay? And right samadhi. No, right understanding is panya, wisdom. Right view or right understanding, that is wisdom. But you have the other two power factors. Right mindfulness and right, not concentration. Samadhi. Samadhi is not concentration. Samadhi is collectedness of mind. A unified mind that is unwavering. Understand that? And there are two possibilities, I already told you. If you are in concentration, you also, like in the fourth jhana, in equanimity. Understand that? Equanimity means what? There is no duality. Understand? No right, no wrong, no happy, no unhappy, no pleasant, no unpleasant. It's like you enlightened. Understand that? If you look at the fourth jhana, what are the remaining jhana factor in the fourth jhana? The first jhana, all the five jhana factors are there. Vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, and ekagata. Then as you move to second jhana, you drop vitaka and vichara. These two are grosser, it will drop. Then as you move further up, more refined, piti will be dropped. Understand? Then there is only sukha. Sukha and ekagata. Then as you move to the third jhana, what happened? Sukha also drop. Understand? So as you move up, you are left with only ekagata. Understand? Ekagata is one pointedness of mind. All the energy feel locked into one. Understand? The thought are killed into one point. That's why you cannot think. You are in a state of trance. Understand? Or absorption. The mind is so concentrated, energy field build up. Understand? And they cannot do anything with the energy field except to push it up and develop jhana or develop psychic ability. Understand? Or occult ability. Otherwise, that jhana, that concentration, the energy field is too strong. Sometimes they get headache. Understand? Sometimes they become very calm, very peaceful, and they become like in a state of trance. No thought, like cessation, nirodha. Understand? So what happens is, if you enter that type of samadhi, it is also equanimity, understand? But cannot live life, understand? You cannot come out into life. You are sitting down there in jhana, understand? Means in a form of meditation. And what the Buddha talked about is the living samadhi, understand? In life itself, you are in samadhi. But that samadhi is not in a state of trance or concentration or one-pointedness. That is an active samadhi, understand? Where the mind is unified, collected, unwavering, without thought, can see things as they are, always in samadhi. You read Mahayana, you will know. The real samadhi is the one that is related to life, understand? Life itself is the meditation. That's why sati sambhajana is the right samadhi. Understand? That's why you got the four foundation of mindfulness. First foundation is kaya nupassana. Okay? What is the first category of cultivation under kaya nupassana? There are six categories. What is the first one? The four foundation of mindfulness. First one is anapanasati, isn't it? After that, what do you do? Second category of cultivation. You develop awareness of four posture, remember? After four posture, what you do? No. This is kaya nupassana. No. That one is Nupassana is different. That one is contemplation. Buddha Nusati is contemplate on the nine great virtues of the Buddha. Dhamma Nusati is contemplate on the Dhamma, then the Sangha. This one is not Nusati, understand not? Anusati and Vipassana is different, understand not? Then the other one is, four foundation of mindfulness is Kaya Nupassana, understand not? So, Kaya Nu, this two words, yeah? Then Pasana. Pasana is insight into, understand not? But why the four foundation he put Nu? Then only Pasana. Means Kaya is form, understand not? Nu is Anusati, contemplative wisdom, understand not? That's why you have to reflect and contemplate on the four elements, the 32 parts. The nine stages of cemetery contemplation. Are that one you use contemplation? That's not. That's why no. You contemplate and insight into. That's why it's called Kaya Nupassana. Nusati is contemplation. That's not. Okay? Like Buddha Nusati. So, Kaya Nupassana. Vedana also Nupassana. But Vipassana, no, no. Direct seeing. Insight, no thought involved, no contemplation. The silent mind in sati and samadhi, sitting as they are. The direct seeing, jnana dasana. Direct knowledge and vision of the reality, not through the thought one. No more contemplation. That's why vipassana is direct seeing. Okay? Nupassana is you cultivate through mindfulness. You can contemplate, you can reflect. Then you insight into. That's why we got three turning of the Four Noble Truths. You know the three turning? They give rise to the three corresponding wisdom. The first turning is Suttamaya Panya. Then Chintamaya Panya. Then Bhavana Maya Panya. These three turning, how does it come about? You understand them or not? Okay, I explain to you. After this, I'll give you a copy of the note also. We develop a chart. Somebody, Kayalamita, after hearing the talk, they developed this chart. You see, first turning wisdom, why is it called Suttamaya Panya? Panya is wisdom. Sutta is what? Discourse of the Buddha, the teaching of the Buddha. So if you hear the Sutta and develop wisdom, this is wisdom born of listening to the Sutta. First turning wisdom is always listening. Yeah, during the Buddha time, you have to listen. There is no recording, understand? No book, no text to read. So now you can read, understand? You can listen and re-listen to the recording, understand? So first turning wisdom now is easier. Then second turning is what? After you hear, you still cannot develop the wisdom. The Buddha said, don't worry. You move to the second turning. So second turning, what did the Buddha say? Not only practice. Second turning is to reflect, contemplate, and inquire into what you have heard. Understand? After you reflect, contemplate, and inquire into the Dhamma that you have heard, you try to stabilize your understanding. Understand? Then when you stabilize what you have heard, what you have read, and what you have contemplated, then you can assimilate it into your heart. That's why it's called upanayiko. The Dhamma can be realized by the wise each for themselves. Understand? Leading inward. So, that part is upanayiko leading to pacetang. Okay? So, when you develop the second turning, you will stabilize what you have heard and read about because you reflect, contemplate, and you understand it deeper. Then you can also have Dhamma discussion. Understand? Or hearing of the Dhamma straighten your view, then you develop the inquiry, contemplation, and the reflection on what you have heard and read and learned and discussed. Then this second wisdom is Chintamaya Panya, wisdom born of reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. This is not Bhavana. Third one is Bhavana. Bhavana is meditative training. Understand not? That's why we call it Metta Bhavana, Vipassana Bhavana. Bhavana is mental training. Whatever meditation that you do to train the mind to develop something is called Bhavana. So wisdom born of bhavana. Correct or not? Bhavana maya panya. Wisdom born of meditative training. This is the direct seeing. This is the meditation part. And these three turning is all in the first, what they call sermon. Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta is all described there. You go and read, you will know. And under the second turning, the Buddha said, first turning, he proclaimed the Four Noble Truths. You hear it, you can have the wisdom because you cultivated before, like the Kondanya. Before the first Dhammacakkappavattana was delivered and finished, before the Buddha finished, he already a Sotapan. That is first turning wisdom, Sutamaya Panya. Then later on when he explained the second sutta, Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, all the five become Arahant. So that one is after they heard, they reflect, contemplate, then they hear again, immediately become Arahant. So means after they have reflected, contemplated and inquired and understood what the Buddha spoke, then the Buddha continued with the second sutta, which is on Anatta Lakkhana, means the sutta on the characteristics of anatta, non-self, and he include impermanent and suffering. And because of that, they are ready through Sutamaya Panya and Cittamaya Panya. That's why upon hearing and reflecting and contemplating, then they silence their mind, they straight away become Arahant, because they have Parami. And that was the Sammasambuddha. Understand that? So these three turning, born of bhavana, is very, very important. So what I try to explain to you here is Sila, Samadhi and Panya is the Noble Eightfold Path. This is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Okay? So wisdom, there are three levels. That's why you need to develop the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. Then under the second turning, the Buddha asks you to inquire. He gave four types of second turning inquiry. First Noble Truth is a second turning. This Noble Truth of suffering, dukkha, is to be understood. You have to inquire. Why did the Buddha say this? Then after you inquire, you know the answer already. You have to inquire again. How can I understand dukkha? Understand? But this dukkha is to be understood. Then the second turning is what? Of the second Noble Truth. This cause of suffering, which is craving, is to be abandoned or severe. Understand? Why did the Buddha say it? And how can I severe it or abandon it? Okay? Then the third Noble Truth, the Buddha say, this cessation of suffering, which is Nibbana, is to be realized. Understanding not enough. You have to realize it. You have to awaken to it. Understand? Why did the Buddha say that? And how can I realize the enlightenment? You have to inquire. You have to contemplate. And you have to go deep into it. Then the fourth Noble Truth, the Buddha said, and the second turning, this Noble Eightfold Path is to be what? Is to be cultivated. You must cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path. First Noble Truth, this Noble Truth of suffering is to be understood. Understanding is enough, but Noble Eightfold Path not enough. You must cultivate. Because the Buddha said, I only show you the way. You must walk the path yourself. You must cultivate and realize the Noble Eightfold Path yourself. So that is the reason why this Sila, Samadhi and Panya, you need to develop the understanding of what it is. Then the other category of Dhamma is what? Dana, Sila and Bhavana. So you check these two categories, yeah, you will see the similarity there. Sila and Sila is the same there. Dana is what? Generosity parami. Okay? Why do you need generosity parami to support your meditation? Why? Because sila, bhavana is meditation, isn't it? So bhavana has been divided into samadhi and panya. Understand? You see these two or not? Yeah? Dana is a different thing, isn't it? It's to support sila and bhavana. So if bhavana is samadhi and panya, means the Buddha definition of meditation is you must develop both wisdom and samadhi. What is samatha bhavana? Only develop samadhi. don't develop wisdom, understand? That's why samatha can never liberate the mind. But they always say, with the jhana, you have clarity, then you can insight. And so you can do the 9 stages of 7-3 contemplation in your meditation, all those things. No need to argue. If you think that is the way, you are free to do. Let's see what's the result. Because the teaching is very clear. To the Buddha, bhavana, meditation, must have 2 parts. If you only do samadhi, and from samadhi you try to get that, you use the wrong samadhi, not the samadhi. You use apana. You try to get. You try. If you don't believe, you go and do. Then you see how you end up. You can be very, very like the enlightened state when you are with it, the jhana, everything. But as you grow old, as you get more what they call weaker, because with old age come what? When you get old, your body become what? More and more fragile, more and more weak. Your senses are failing you. Then you have a lot of disease and sickness. If you don't have wisdom, can you overcome that problem? There will be fear. Last time I had the jhana, I so peaceful, like enlightened. But how come now I can't even get into jhana because I'm so old, so weak and so fragile? That is the time they realize. Without panya, you cannot free. Your mind still afflicted. So it's up to you, understand? Whatever you want, don't try to be right or wrong. Go and investigate, find out, develop your own understanding. Because you are free to develop your own understanding. Yes. No. When you are in that state, your mind cannot reflect, cannot contemplate, and cannot see things as they are. Because it's all locked into one point. It can't even think. It can't even move. But there's a lot of energy inside there. And this is still a thought, no? No thought is still a thought, no? Well, who say no thought? That thought locked in one point and say no thought. Well, it's all held in energy field. It's a conditioned state. It's not a free mind. What the Buddha teaches is wisdom, no energy field. It's pure energy, pure awareness, sati. From sati, it developed the samadhi that is not concentration. It's the collectedness of mind, the unified mind that is unwavering. That is samadhi. The Mahayana will know. The real samadhi is like that one. Can live life one. And not affected by anything one. When you are in the midst of life, when you see something, hear something, smell, tactile feel or think, the mind is unwavering. Understand? At the moment of sense experience, it's unwavering. Unwavering means it's not disturbed. Understand? In life itself, no. Not in the state of jhana. In the state of jhana, lightning strike also no movement inside. Equanimity. But that is a conditioned state. Not born of wisdom. That's why the Buddha mentioned like a glass of water. If you don't stir it, what happened? The dust will settle down in it. Water like clear. It's like enlightened. But this dust that settle down, they are called latent tendency. Anusaya. Understand not? Which means your 3 evil roots of greed, hatred, delusion, sakality, they are still there. They are not rooted out. Because there is no condition for it to arise. But the moment it stirs, come out. That's why you need to root it out through wisdom. Only wisdom can liberate the mind. And when it's no longer deluded, no more sakayaditi, no more avijja, it will not be affected by any of this sense experience or sankara. That's why sankara anicang, sankara dukkang, dhamma anatta. And all this, without wisdom, you cannot penetrate. So that's why there are 2 different meditation. You need to develop your own understanding. You have to find out yourself. Nobody can teach you. You don't have to believe anything that I say or the Buddha say. The Buddha also explained to the Kalamas, don't believe anything. inquire, investigate. Well, the Dhamma is like that. Ehi paseko. You can come and investigate. If it's the truth, stand up to investigation. Whatever you do, whatever meditation, if you think you have realized or enlightened, you check with the, what they call, the salutation to the Dhamma, the Buddha chant. Suakato bhagavata dhammo, sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, opanaiko, pacetang, veditapo, vinohiti. This is the Dhamma that the Buddha said, you will realize. And this can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves, nobody else. So the characteristic of the Dhamma, he said, this Dhamma is well expounded by the Buddha. Suakato bhagavata dhammo. Then sanditiko means what? This Dhamma has this characteristic. Can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait till death. Yeah, you can awaken. Then akaliko. This Dhamma is timeless. Beyond thought, beyond time. If you use thought as an instrument to meditate, you apply thought, sustain thought and focus, you ask yourself, can you realize the enlightenment that is beyond thought? Well, your instrument is thought-based. Understand? You cannot go beyond thought. Then the third characteristic of the Dhamma is from sanditiko akaliko is ehipasiko. Means this Dhamma, which is the truth, can stand up to investigation. You are invited to investigate into it. That's why the seventh factor of enlightenment, you start with sati. Then the second factor of enlightenment is Dhamma vichaya. Understand? Dhamma investigation. You're supposed to investigate with sati. Without sati, you cannot investigate. You go and use apana samadhi, cannot investigate. You have one pointedness, no thought, cannot move. Locked into it, energy feel very strong. The mind is not a free mind, not a clear mind. So how you investigate Dhamma? You cannot. You only use energy field. Then you go into occult, psychic. You think that is Dhamma investigation. A lot of people got trapped inside there. So all this, when you start to develop the understanding of the teaching and when you meditate, you will come to understand them clearly. Okay? So I hope this will clear things out. Before I forget, I think I better give you all the books. Okay, this is the meditation book. You can have two. Then maybe the Samatha, Bhavana, Vipassana, I will give you two. It's okay, wait. You can have this one also. You can give one to your friend. What is your friend's name? Yeah, I know. I remember you. I remember you. Long time ago, you all have been in the Dhamma for very long. Pali and Eric. I remember Pali and Eric. Then the other one is the tree turning. Anybody still got? Stephanie, got any extra copy of that? That they did we distribute all? No, the tree turning of the Four Noble Truths. You got that. Oh, I have here, I think. Oh, wait, you are lucky. I tell you what, I give you one copy. This is a color copy, master. You go and photo set and give to your friend. The three turnings, Suttamaya Panya, Cintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya, clearly explained here. Okay. I think we have to stop the Q&A. Otherwise, you got no time to study the Dhamma. Okay, we keep it to the next lesson. Any more questions? Okay, good. Then we continue from where we supposed to continue. We were at the notes, We were at what page, sorry. We were at this book, isn't it? Samatha Vipassana book, isn't it? Correct, lah? What page was it? I got it here, I think. Yes. Is it page 16? Page 16, 16, I think. We finished 15. Page 16, Importance of cultivating sati leading to heedfulness. You turn to page 16, We continue from here, This one is the Buddha's understanding. He actually came to understand that one only needs to develop the mindfulness, leading to the heedfulness to realize the enlightenment following Dhammapada verse 21. That's why when he finally came out to teach, the Buddha advised his disciple only one thing before his parinibbana. What did he say? Somebody answer. Apamadena sampadeta. You heard of this word, isn't it? Or strive on with heedfulness. That's why his teaching focus on heedfulness. Understand that? So what is heedfulness? This heedfulness is clearly defined under Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23 of the Apamada Vaga. Dhammapada verse section on heedfulness. There are 20 verses in Apamada Vaga. Verse 21 to verse 40. But the first three verses is the most important. The Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 of this section are the most important. That's why I repeated that. Dhammapada verse 21. I think you have heard of this. The Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, and heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. What is the meaning? What is the meaning? When you read this verse, what do you understand? It's so clear that the answer is in the book there. What do you understand? As if dead. You want to be like that or not? You want to be spiritually dead or not? Means no choice. No chance to develop the spiritual understanding to become enlightened. That's why the heedless are as if dead. And the Buddha say, most human beings that are not enlightened, they are all heedless. Understand? Unless you are serious cultivator. So, heedlessness is the path to the dead. Whereas heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. The heedless are as if dead. So what you need is only to train your mind to be heedful, isn't it? Correct or not? So that you will not die. So that you will have the Dhamma. So that you will realize the enlightenment. That's why his final advice to all the monks before he died is just strive on with heedfulness. Because with heedfulness, you are destined for enlightenment. Understand or not? That is the meaning. Understand or not? Hence, no cultivation or meditation if you are heedless. So it's very dangerous to be heedless. Understand? If you don't train your mind, you become heedless. You know why you are heedless? A heedless person is not bothered about life. Understand? He simply do things. That's why he is heedless. Understand? He is not scared of karma. He don't believe anything. Well, he's so heedless. Whereas if you are heedful means what? You are very serious about life. You are very serious about the law that governs life and existence. Then when the Buddha told you that there is such thing as the right view with regards to law of karma, you become very, very serious about karma. Because the Buddha said, every day, living being, or the monk, you have to reflect five things. What are the five things? Huh? This body of mine is of the nature to get old, to get sick and die. And that's not, for he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. This first three. Then the fourth one is what? Separation. Whatever you think you own, understand not? Your loved ones, your prized possession, your wealth, your money, yeah? Your assets, property, all this, or whatever that you hold on to dearly, they will separate from you sooner or later, one day. When conditions cease to be, you no longer own them, understand not? Sometimes when condition is still there, but when your breath stops, you also no more own them. That's why separation can take place either way. So the Buddha said, reflect. They are not real. They are not what you think they are. They don't belong to anybody. When condition is there, it's like it belongs to you. Like this body. You think it belongs to you. But the Buddha said very clearly, my son, my wealth, my whatever, possession and all those things. This, only the fools lament. Remember? For that body doesn't belong to him. Understand? Wherein son, wherein wealth, wherein all this property and all this. Understand? You can't even own your own form and mind, your body, your consciousness. But this will separate and die. So how can this form and mind that separate and die own anything? Understand? Everything is conditioned arising. Causal phenomenon. Impermanent. Coming go, coming go. When condition is there, it appears like you own, you exist, you live. When condition ceases to be, everything ceases to be. So this one you have to reflect, contemplate. So that when you are confronted with separation from loved ones and possession, the first noble truth reality, you have the wisdom not to be deluded by it. You will have the wisdom not to be afflicted by it. Not to develop any attachment, clinging, craving, that condition your suffering. Understand? They are all form and mind, not what you think. Even your own form and mind you cannot own. How can you own your loved one? Understand? How can you own anything that is condition arising, that is impermanent? Understand? Because they are not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to and grasp onto and say, this is me, this is I, this can be mine. No such thing. Then what is the fifth contemplation? The Buddha say what? You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of karma. Every day he asks you to reflect. No? If your life follows this law of karma, that say you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, you are what you are because of your karma, what must you do? You have to take care of karma. Your karma is like all of your life depend on karma. Understand? You are born of it. You inherit everything that karma bring along, heir to it. Then you are every moment, every instant conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are every moment, every instant because of your karma. So almost 99.999% your life depend on karma. Understand? So if you are not heedful to take care of karma, what will happen to you? You will get yourself entangled in life. And you will become miserable. Because when you violate this law of karma, that explains clearly to you, do good begets good, do evil begets evil, you reap what you sow, you will get into trouble. You will suffer. Because you are born of it, here to it. So whatever evil, negativity that you do to people, karmically, it comes back to you. You reap what you sow. Because you are born of karma, here to your karma, condition and supported. And you are what you are because of it. So when you have this right view, you will definitely be heedful. You will never become heedless anymore. Otherwise, you are going to fall into hell. Karma is going to come after you. So what must you do? Train yourself to be ever mindful. Ever mindful of what? Your mental intention. Understand? No evil root. No greed, no hatred, no delusion. Otherwise, these are the evil root. Roots of all evil. Evil make you very evil. Understand? And the heedless are as if dead. This is how the whole teaching come about. Understand? So how do you take care of karma? Eh? You have to avoid all evil, isn't it? Then you have to do good, isn't it? Then you have to develop the wisdom by purifying your mind, isn't it? And this is how the advice of the Buddha come about. This is Dhammapada verse 183. Understand that? Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasambadan sacitta pariyotapanang etang buddhana sasana. All Buddha give the same advice. Sabbe is all. Papasa is evil. Akaranang. All evil you have to avoid. Not only avoid evil, no. All evil. Otherwise, karmically it come back to you. So when you know the seriousness of this right view, you will become very heedful. You will never become heedless anymore, because the heedless are as if dead. If you want to be like that, it's up to you. Your life, you choose. You have a choice. Understand not? So we go on, then you will understand. Dhammapada verse 22 reconfirm what verse 21 is. The Buddha said, heedfulness, the Buddha continued to give you the assurance by saying, distinctly knowing the difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, the wise intend on heedfulness, and they will rejoice in the rhyme of the Aryas. Arya means what? Enlightened being, and as a noble ones. So, if you are wise, you intend on heedfulness because you know the seriousness of being heedless, you will rejoice in the rhyme of the Arya, means you are destined to become Aryas. Understand? No? Then Dhammapada verse 23 confirm everything. That's why I explained there. What are Aryas? Aryas are noble one, enlightened one. Hence the wise one who intend on heedfulness are destined to become enlightened. Then Dhammapada verse 23 guarantees enlightenment and define clearly what heedfulness is. So the Buddha, via verse 23, he said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the bond-free Nibbana. Understand that? So what is ever mindful? Continuous mindfulness. Understand that? That's why it's upacara samadhi. Understand that? It's not moment-to-moment mindfulness. He said ever mindful. Understand that? Then what is constantly meditative? Constantly cultivating? Noble Eightfold Path, isn't it? Noble Eightfold Path is a meditation. So what is heedfulness? Ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And Noble Eightfold Path can only be cultivated in daily life, understand not? Not in the formal meditation of Apana Samadhi. Understand not? And now you understand why Buddha defined bhavana as samadhi and panya. Understand? That's why dana, sila, bhavana. Bhavana is samadhi and panya, not samadhi alone. Understand? Samadhi alone cannot liberate the mind. So this becomes very clear. If this one also you cannot understand, then it's very difficult for you to meditate. Correct? If you don't even understand these three Dhammapada verse on Appamadavagga, how you start? That's why you go and do all sorts of funny meditation. You forget about what heedfulness is. You forget about what the Buddha's advice is. You don't go back to his teaching. You go and believe people say you do certain method, technique that is vipassana. Technique and method that the Buddha also don't do one. Understand? So all this, you have to investigate on your own. We are not here to try to what they call create misunderstanding or what. No. It's my understanding I share with you. No right, no wrong. Use it if you find it conducive and suitable and helpful. If you don't quite agree and understand, I respect your view. Understand? But please, for your own good, don't comment and say negative things. Because nature's law, they don't actually, they don't really like have love and compassion for you. The moment, like law of karma, you hit out at something, which is the truth, karmically, it will boomerang back. Understand? So, have an open mind. If you cannot understand, you're not sure, have an open mind, yeah, and just say, maybe now my view is different. Ah, then very good. We respect you for what you are, your cultivation, your understanding. Likewise, I hope you also respect people for what they are, their understanding, yeah, and their cultivation. And then we are here as Dhamma friends to share the Dhamma. Understand? No wrong, no right. We are not here to argue about Dhamma. Understand? No point. Understand? It doesn't help you, doesn't help me, doesn't help anybody. It becomes like wasting time. Understand? We are here to develop understanding, sharing, that are appropriate, conducive, and meaningful, so that we can avoid unnecessary misunderstanding, argument. This is not Noble Eightfold Path anymore, understand? Noble Eightfold Path is about right speech, understand? Right thought, right action, right livelihood, and all the Noble Eightfold Path factor, heedfulness, and all those things. So the sharing is for the benefit of all who can develop the understanding. Yeah. But if you don't agree to anything, it's okay, no problem, understand? So we respect you for what your view is. We respect you for what you are. You are the way you are, understand? That's why when you accept them for what they are, there is no right and no wrong, understand? Your right and wrong is relative, correct? Right according to you, that's why it's right, understand? And right according to me, no meaning, understand? Because it's a relative thing. But if it's the truth, it points towards the reality, that is more important, understand? That's why the Buddha teach the noble truth, Dhamma. Dhamma is truth. He never teach right and wrong, understand? He teach the truth. So Dhamma is whatever that can explain the truth, the reality. That's why the Buddha teach noble truth, not ordinary truth. Understand? Truth that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why it's called the Four Noble Truths. Arya Satcha. Understand? Satcha is truth. Arya are noble ones. So Arya Satcha are noble truth. Okay, we move on. If you got any question, you can ask. If this one also you cannot understand or remember, then it's very difficult for you to meditate to become enlightened, because this is what apamada or heedfulness is all about. If you cannot understand this verse, then how are you going to develop the cultivation? What is constantly meditative? Yes, constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. Ever mindful means what? Continuously mindful. That's why you must have upacara samadhi, to have the sustained or continuous mindfulness or awareness to hold on to this cultivation throughout the day via the daily mindfulness, which is sati sampajana, anasana. Mindfulness and clear comprehension. There are four types of clear comprehension. You have to train your mind, because the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot and wanders off very fast. Why does this mind wanders off? Those who have attended my Thursday class, meditation class, they will know. Why is your mind not peaceful? Because of what? Mental hindrance. Just I already explained also. If you have mental hindrance, it means you don't have the spiritual faculties. What are the five mental hindrance? They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. That's why they are called mental hindrance. Oh, sorry. I missed out one line. You become heedless because this hindrance hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. That's why they are called mental hindrance. Understand? Because it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. So the Buddha said, when you understand this, then you will know what to do. So what must you do? You have to cultivate one. The opposite five spiritual faculties. Once you have this spiritual faculty cultivated, they will help you overcome the hindrance. That's why you don't go and fight the hindrance. You don't go and suppress your anger, your craving, your lust, understand or not? Or your restless mind. You don't go and control it and try to focus, develop all the funny meditation, understand or not? These are hindrances. The hindrances are there because you don't have spiritual faculty. You are weak, understand or not? So the moment you have sadha, which is confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, you are very calm and very composed, correct or not? Then you will be full of confidence. That's why no more doubt, understand or not? When you are very calm and very composed, no more restlessness, correct or not? So sadha will help you overcome doubt and restlessness, correct or not? Then when you understand that his teaching is so wonderful, and important, because it can bring about enlightenment, leading to the liberation of mind from all suffering, then your faith will strengthen. Correct not? The Buddha is such a unique being. He is fully enlightened, not only enlightened. He is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. And to have such a great being as your teacher, you should count your blessing. That's how your faith and confidence in him can become so stable, until unshakable. Then you will arise the virya, which is a type of spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate. With this, you will not be sleepy anymore. That's why sloth and torpor no more. Because that virya will make you wide awake. Then sati is mindfulness. When you are mindful, there is no thought. Because sati is awareness before the knowing. So no thought means what? No more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more restlessness, no more sensual desire and ill will. So all the other three mental hindrances also gone. That's why when the spiritual faculty are there, you actually overcome all the hindrances. This means you only need to cultivate these five spiritual faculty. So now you understand, huh? So how do you cultivate these five spiritual faculty? The Buddha recommend one. Yeah? That's why the puja come in, the devotional practice come in, understand or not? What do you do during puja? You recall to mind the great wisdom, loving kindness and great compassion of Lord Buddha to develop the faith. Then you recollect through Buddha Nosati, the nine great virtues of the Buddha to understand how special he is, how wonderful he is and how special his teaching is. Then you recollect through your mind the wonderful teaching, the Dhamma, what they call salutation to the Dhamma. Then also Dhammanusati. Then through Sanghanusati, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, the Triple Gem, you come to understand clearly. So all this develop faith, sadha, virya. Then he teaches you how to take refuge so that you have affinity with the Triple Gem. Understand? Refuge with the Triple Gem. Then after that, what you do? You pay respect, correct not? Then you rejoice. Then after that, you renew your precept. Understand not? Renew your precept is to avoid all evil, to remind you. Then you meditate. Understand not? For a while. Then you radiate metta, do generosity, dana. Then you can have great opportunity to do the other 10 meritorious actions while you are in the temple after you do your puja or even here. You listen to Dhamma, you straighten your view, understand not? Then you develop what they call the rejoicing, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then you transfer merit, you share merits. Then you help out, provide service to the sasana, to the kayanamitas, to all those who need help. So all these are meritorious actions. Then you invoke the power of merits, you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina, understand not? So that by the power of these merits may arise the causes and conditions for you to avoid the foolish. Meet up with only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is real. These are the Buddha's way of helping you, understand not? To develop the spiritual faculty leading to the aspiration so that it will pave the way for you to meet up with the wise, avoid the foolish, so that you can realize your enlightenment. If you are not serious and determined through heedfulness, none of this will happen. And puja is very simple. But you cannot wait for once a week, go to temple and do puja, understand? Then 6.5 days you become heedless again. What for? That's why you must have a religious routine. Every morning when you wake up, do it. Before you sleep, do it. In between, when you have time, do it. Understand? Then cultivate daily mindfulness so that you stabilize your cultivation, so that you become heedful throughout the day. This will be your new conditioning. This will be your new way of living life. Otherwise, no way. The meditation, the real meditation is daily mindfulness. All of your former meditation is just a skillful means to train the mind, nothing else. It can give you some form of calmness, peace, fantastic meditation experience. But if it does not bring about wisdom, you are still lost. Your mind is still not liberated. And most of the time, the hindrance, the anusaya, the latent tendency, they are all suppressed. They are not rooted out. It can only be rooted out in daily mindfulness. Sati sampajana, cultivation. Because you don't have condition to allow your mind to react and stir, you can never see your hindrance. You can never see your own selfishness, delusion, sakayaditi. You can never see your own dependent origination. All the Dhamma that the Buddha talked about arise in life. Noble Eightfold Path is life. Understand? You look at the Noble Eightfold Path factor. They are all the path factor you need to live life. First is right view. Right view in regards to what? The law that governs life and existence. The first one is law of karma. The second one is the law of the mind. Understand? That's why you got the Panja Niyama. Uttu Niyama, Chitta Niyama, sorry, Bija Niyama. Then you have karma niyama. Then you have citta niyama, which is order of the mind, nature's law with regards to how your mind functions. Then the last one is dhamma niyama, nature's law on dhamma, which is the truth. These three right view is spiritual. If you don't understand, you don't have right view. That's why to have right view, you must have right view with regards to karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. Then with right view, it will condition your right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And to live life, you must arise your thought, correct or not? You must communicate through speech, now got email. Then you must act, understand? Then you must live, understand? That's why there is right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then you must develop right effort to constantly purify your mind. How to purify? First right effort is, like just now I said, to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action that has already arisen. Understand not? Then second right effort is what? To prevent all this wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood from arising. How to do that? Without heedfulness, without mindfulness, you cannot see. You don't have the ability to see. That's why you need to train your mind. You need to have heedfulness to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You can't even see your mental intention and how your mind stir. And you don't even know what are right speech, right action, and right thought, and right livelihood. Then how to cultivate? The absence of negativity is right. So, without evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then you can have right thought, right speech, right action. But how do you know? You don't have the three evil roots. That's why you must have mindfulness, ever mindful. And you must understand what these three evil roots are. If you don't even understand what they are, then how are you going to develop the mindfulness to be aware of them? You have to be aware of the thing that you understand, isn't it? That's why three evil roots is a very essential dhamma that you need to understand. What is greed? Not only your greediness is greed, you know. What is greed? All of your selfishness is greed, understand? When you think of yourself and don't think of others, that is greed. All of your craving, desire, covetousness, deceitfulness, these are all greed, understand not? All of your like and desire, they are all greed, understand not? Then when it comes to anger or hatred, the definition of this evil root also very wide. They constitute not only your anger, not only your hatred, no. All your negative tendency, they have this evil root of hatred, like your envy, your jealousy, your dislike, your unhappiness, your sorrow and your lamentation. These are all this evil root of hatred. Then what is delusion? The evil root of delusion is what? Ignorance is another big word. Ignorance actually is the main what they call avijja. But sakkayaditti is a small part of avijja. Sakkayaditti is sakkaya. Ditti is view. Wrong view with regards to the kaya. Means self-delusion. When you take this form in mind, or your five aggregate of form and mind as the I and the me, you got sakkayaditti, you got self-delusion. And with self-delusion, what happened? All the evil root come. When you deludedly think that this form and mind is you, this human being is you, what happened? You develop what? Selfishness. Then you can become emotional. Because you think this is you. You think people disturb you, scold you, abuse you, understand? Disturb you. That's why you become violent, understand? You become angry. You have envy and jealousy. Then, what else? Because you think you exist, you fear of dying, understand? Getting sick. Then this fear and insecurity constitute delusion, understand? All of your fear, your worry, your anxiety, they are all from delusion. That's why when the evil roots are there, you become miserable. They are roots of all evil. They make you evil, understand not? That's why you must not have them. Even anger you cannot keep in your heart. The Buddha called it the three evil roots. When you are an angry person, when you have anger as a what they call evil root, you become evil. Because anger can make you violent. When you are violent, you can kill and harm and destroy, understand not? You look at the precept. Who violate the precept? Deluded people, selfish people, angry people. All with the evil root on. Like first precept, abstain from killing and causing harm. Who will do that? Huh? Angry people, violent people, selfish people, deluded people. Correct? Then the second precept is what? Stealing. Who will do that? Selfish people. Deluded people. That's why all the evil root are there. Sexual misconduct. Who will do that? Lustful people, selfish people, understand? Heedless people who don't care whether the family get destroyed or not, because they are full of craving, desire, lustful. Then who will tell lie? The selfish people who got a motive will tell lie. Correct? Deluded people who don't understand nature's law will tell lie. Then who will take intoxicant? Heedless people, deluded people who don't understand. They go and drink, take drug until their consciousness so low. When you are heedless, your consciousness is affected, what will happen to you? You will violate all the other precepts. That's why the fifth precept you think is not serious. But when you violate that, all the other four are gone. You are in your state of heedlessness when you are drunk or semi-drunk or semi-conscious. You can actually do a lot of negative things without you knowing. And you become so heedless because you lost consciousness. You are not heedful. There is no clarity in your mind. You are so muddled up, so confused. So all this is what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. So without all this Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot live life. If you are not mindful, you cannot be heedful. If you are not heedful, you cannot see your mental intention. You cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You cannot avoid all evil. Do good and purify the mind, following the advice of the Buddha. Without mindfulness, also same. Without samadhi, also same. There's a Noble Eightfold Path is life itself. Understand that? So meditation is life itself, never apart from life. That's why the Mahayana saying that we got from Suchi is very good. Very good. The last part, Pamasuri read out. The last part is very good. The first part is, he say, Sing Zong Yu Fo. You understand Mandarin or not? Sing zong yu fo. Sing is heart, huh? Zong, within the heart, there is the Buddha. You understand the meaning or not? Oh, you exceeded idea. Then today, I finished explaining this one. He said, within your heart, there is the Buddha. Means what? When you have the Buddha, means what? You have faith, understand or not? In the Buddha himself. That's why Saddha is there. Sing zong yu fo, otherwise you cannot cultivate. Then the other meaning is, sing zong yu fo is the forcing. Within your true mind, understand, there is the Buddha nature. Understand or not? Then when you cultivate with the faith, then you develop the wisdom, love and compassion, you have the embodiment of the Buddha's virtue and wisdom. Understand or not? That's why sing zong yu fo means you have love, compassion and wisdom. Understand or not? Then the second verse is very good. Sing, sing zong, yu fa. Sing is siu sing the sing, understand or not? Cultivation. Within cultivation, there is the Dhamma. Then only right cultivation, understand or not? If you cultivate without the Dhamma, what type of cultivation are you doing? That's why when you know Dhammapada verse 1, 2, and 21, 22, 23, and 183, then you know how to cultivate, understand or not? That's why, sing zong yu fa, the Dhamma must be there, understand or not? When you cultivate. Then the last one is what? You read the whole thing better, huh? Pass the mic to Padmasuri. Then we finish, yeah? So we can end here.
Xing zong yu fo. Xing zong yu fa. Fa zong yu chan. Xin bu li dao. Dao bu li fa. Fa bu li ri chang sheng huo.
What is ri chang sheng huo? The Dhamma is never apart from your daily living. Understand? That's why it's daily life. Zi chang sheng huo. Sheng huo is daily living. Zi chang is throughout the day. Understand? That's why you are not ever mindful, you cannot be heedful. If you are not ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, there is no heedfulness. And that is the Dhamma. Understand? Fa bu li, zi chang sheng huo. So, all those who understand the Dhamma, they teach you the same thing. Understand? Okay, we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merit. Then after that, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Then you make your aspiration. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all do be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatakalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, we invoke the what they call aspiration, eh? So that you all can avoid the foolish, meet out with the wise. Eh? Then enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized. อิมินาปุญญังกามินามาเมบาลาสมากโมสตังสมากโมโหตุยาวานิวานาปัตติยา By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu.Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, huh? And all the worthy ones. Do you all still meet out with Pali? Oh, no more. It's okay.